Let's look today at another companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who died in the month of Safar, and this is Salman al-Farsi, although I'd like to call it Salman al-Muhammadi. Let's see why I want to do that. One day in the mosque of Medina, just before Dhuhr Salah, Salman entered the mosque, and Salman was from Iran, and just thus the name Salman al-Farsi, and not an Arab. And to tease him, some of those sitting in the mosque started saying loudly which tribe they belonged to. "I belong to the tribe of Quraysh," one said. Another said, "I'm from the tribe of Tamim." Salman was silent. Then someone asked him, "And you, O Salman, which tribe do you belong to?" To teach them what he really meant to be a Muslim, Salman said, "I am the son of Islam. I was lost. Allah guided me through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was poor. Allah made me rich through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I was a slave. Allah freed me through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam is my family and my tribe." And the Prophet said, "Salman is one of our Ahlul Bayt. Salman is Salman Muhammadi." So let's have a look at his life. Salman was born in a small town called Jiye, where today stands the city of Isfahan in Iran. His Persian name was Roziba, and he was born into a Zoroastrian family. Not satisfied with the beliefs that he had, he was always in search of truth. One day he was sent out of his hometown by his dad for an errand. He saw a church and he heard voices. He went in and inquired about their belief. On being explained the message of the oneness of God, the creator of all, the powerful, he accepted monotheism, and he accepted Prophet Isa, Jesus, as a prophet of God. He spent time reading their scriptures and was late back home. When he returned home and revealed to his father the reason for his lateness and his acceptance of Christianity, his father was furious. He was punished, and his father put him in a dark dungeon. Salman was freed from the dungeons by his Christian friends, who found out about his plight when they inquired about him. He joined a caravan of travelers and he left Iran. He lived in various places, amongst them Damascus, Mosul and Amuria. He studied the scriptures, but was still not totally satisfied with the answers he got from them. He found that there were a lot of questions in his minds which were unanswered. Once while in Amuria, he heard the appearance of a new prophet in Mecca, a prophet who forbade the worshipping of idols and preached the absolute oneness of God. He thought to himself, "Could this be the answer to my prayers?" He tried to find out as much as he could about this prophet. Eventually, he found a group of travelers who were going towards Arabia, to Yathrib. Now remember, Yathrib was the old name for Medina, and he joined them. And found that as they crossed into Arabia, he was a stranger both to their language and to their culture. And when on the caravan, he refused to eat dead animal meat, and refused to drink wine, he was made fun of, and the traders took advantage of him being alone, and sold him as a slave. He was made to work very hard, and he was very much in demand because of his strength and his physical stature. His master sold him to his cousin who lived in Quba. Now this was near Medina or Yathrib at that time. And those around him realized that Salman did not speak very much, but when he did, his words were full of wisdom. His new master loved him so much, he refused to sell him for any price, because he found that Salman not only worked hard, but was a wise man. One day he overheard his master talking of a prophet, and heard that the Prophet was on his way to Medina. This was during the Hijra. When he heard of the Prophet's arrival in Quba, Salman went to meet him. Now, in the scriptures, he had read the signs of a prophet. He had read that a prophet does not accept sadaqah, that he does not refuse gifts, sadaqah is charity, that he has a mark between his shoulders. Salman took some dates as sadaqah and noticed that the Prophet did not eat them. He saw that there was a cloud over the Prophet. It shaded him wherever he went. When he visited Medina again, he took dates as a gift, and he noticed that the Prophet accepted them. And the third sign was apparent to him when he accompanied a funeral with the Prophet and saw the mark of prophethood when the breeze moved the Prophet's cloak. Immediately Salman accepted Islam. One day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam visited Salman, who was very ill. The Prophet prayed for him, that Allah keep him far away from all ills, body and soul, till death. And it was at that time that he came to be called Salman, which means safety. Remember, his name was Ruzaybah. In Medina, when the Prophet arranged brotherhood, Salman was made the brother of Abu Dharr, another awesome companion that we will inshallah look at. But the moment Salman's master found out that Salman had accepted Islam, he didn't like it. He started being mean to him. Salman so wished to be a free man. But for his freedom, his master wanted 30 to 40 young date palms and 4 ounces of gold. It was a tremendous amount at that time. Salman told the Prophet, who announced to the Muslims, asking them for help. Soon Salman was free. He learned as much as he could from the Prophet, at times spending whole nights at his feet. He learned perfect Arabic. He was the first who translated the Quran into another language. He translated it into Persian for his countrymen. And there was none, save for Imam Ali al-Islam, amongst the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who excelled as much as Salman. And the Prophet used to say, this is the first gift of Iran, the first gift of Persia to Islam. One day, Rasulullah was sitting in the mosque of Medina with his companions, and he asked them some questions. He says, who spends his entire night in Salah? I do, said Salman. Who fasts every day of the year? The Prophet asked. I do, said Salman. Who completes the recitation of the entire Quran every day? I do, Salman said. The other companions were waiting for a chance to belittle him because he was not an Arab, and they told the Prophet, but we've seen him eating and sleeping, and there is no way he does all this. The Prophet smiled, and he asked Salman to explain his statements. And Salman said, it was you, Ya Rasulullah, who said that if one does wudu before one sleeps, then it is as though one has spent the whole night in worship. You said that if one fasts on the 13th, 14th, and 15th of every lunar month, these are known as Ayyamul Bid, then it is as though one has fasted for the whole month. And you, Ya Rasulullah, said that if one recites Suratul Ikhlas, Suratul Tawheed, 3 times before going to bed, then it is as though one has recited the whole Quran. Ya Rasulullah, I do wudu before I sleep. I recite Suratul Ikhlas 3 times every night, and I fast on all the Ayyamul Bid. Nobody could answer him. It was Salman who advised the digging of the ditch around Medina in the Battle of Khandaq. When the ditch was being dug, both the Ansars and Muhajirs claimed that Salman was one of them. But the Prophet said, Salman is neither an Ansar nor a Muhajir, but he is one of us, the people of the house, the Ahlul Bayt. He is Salman e Muhammadi. After the Battle of Khandaq, the Muslims went to Taif, where the enemies had enclosed themselves behind walls. Salman taught the Muslims how to throw rocks in slings like giant catapults to break the walls, and this is how Taif was won over. When the Prophet died, Salman was grieved immensely. He cried continuously. Imam Ali al-Islam made him governor of Madain, and it was here that he died at the age of 88 years, this was 656 AD. Imam Ali came from Medina to give him ghusl and kafan, and Salman was buried in Madain at a place which is called Salmane Park. And we find that if we analyze his life, he had 2 aims. One was to find the truth, and the other was to uphold it. And he realized both these aims. So much we have to learn from Salman Muhammadi. I just absolutely adore him. I think he's awesome. Absolutely awesome.